miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, and the 99.3 ESPN app. I am Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepherd. Rick Church on the other side of the glass. Chris still on vacay for another, for his fortnight of vacay, wherever he's going.
I just saw a Facebook page post from him that, I think I'm looking at it. It's public, so I can say it's Mr. and Mrs. Beasley's 65th wedding anniversary. Congratulations. That's a long time.
That's the occasion.
That's one of them.
All right, very good.
It's great.
Speaking of across the pond, ladies and gentlemen, the British Open is going on, winding down round number one. J.B. Holmes is your leader at 5 under.
J.B. Holmes.
Shane Lowry, one stroke back at 4 under. And Brooks Koepka, by the way, he's 2 strokes back, in case you're wondering. Tiger Woods is just about done. He was +7. It was horrible. Rory McIlroy, this is his home course, horrible, +8.
Shot a hit a fan in the first hole. His first shot, broke her cell phone, had a quadruple bogey 8 on hole number 1, and never recovered, as you said, to an 8 over. 8 of 14 fairways, 11 of 18 greens in regulation in the first round.
Very reminiscent of my game. Because I frequently will have a
recover better.
I will have a horrible first hole. I have had many a snowman on my first hole. I don't know. I get the first hole yips. I scorch them, and that takes you a while to settle into a groove. So it was not a good day for Rory. Meanwhile, Rick Church on the other side of the glass, who was calling number 9 for the Rays White Sox tickets for this weekend?
Bobby Davis from Naples.
All right.
Congratulations, Bobby. Thank you for calling there. We will have more prizes to give away coming up later on this hour. It is Wikipedia. We will have British Open trivia.
Woo!
This is probably easier than solar system trivia and lunar trivia.
Wasn't too bad overall.
Yeah. All right, good.
239 did 9 people even call. Believe it or not, we got a ton of calls for him, the tickets.
Yeah.
I know what you're thinking. They're still in contention. My God, it's still one of the best teams in the American League.
You know what? Come on, man. Like, quit with the attitude. It's a Major League Baseball game, all right? It's fun. They're professional baseball.
Absolutely.
It's a pro.
And they're one of the best teams in the league.
Like, stop. Stop. Stop with this who cares
stuff.
That
was a rather negative texture. All right. We've been also keeping an eye on the Big Ten Media Day today. We have the Big Ten Network. You know, the SEC's got their network. The Big Ten's got their network. The poor lowly ACC, 5 years behind the times.
Mm.
We had, we gave you our coverage yesterday. We did what we could. We brought you some sound, but it's much more plentiful with these other networks. So kudos to them. So we're going to hear from Ryan Day in a moment regarding Ohio State. He's 3-0 as the interim coach. Undefeated. And I think you nailed it on the head earlier today, Pete. We said around here, this hodgepodge of collection of people from all over the country, pretty solid contingent of Buckeye Nation around here.
Absolutely. And they are confident and passionate. And it's been great. Just don't get blown out, in games. You can't get blown out by Iowa and Purdue in back-to-back years.
Nope, you cannot. All right, so when we play Ryan Day, we'll come back. We'll talk about Ohio State a little bit. And then Jim Harbaugh, and he has not gone out on the dais of Big Ten. I think he's going tomorrow. But he did take a shot at Urban Meyer, which I found interesting since he's never beat him.
Yeah. I mean, he's got no business taking shots at anybody. Just go back and look. Why don't you review your last two games and the humiliating losses you suffered?
However, what he said is not untrue. So that makes it interesting. So we'll have that. All right, Rick, do we have Ryan Day?
But it does go against the coach's code, which you will get into.
Urban's not a coach anymore. He is a TV broadcaster, a restaurateur,
a podcast.
We kind of missed most of the opening statement, but we got the Q&A. Okay.
Well, the opening statements are usually boring drivel anyway. So
yeah, your Indiana boy seriously went like 12 minutes on his opening statement.
Oh, so it's boring?
It's not bad, actually. He's kind of
Do you think, Craig? Hall of support?
No.
Maybe?
No.
No?
No.
That's not right.
Pete wants to listen to it just to get fodder against me at some other point. Okay, well, he says something.
That's right. That one's ready to.
Let's talk Boston College. Negative. I wish them well. Coach DiGiorgio, if they win five games this year, they'll be lucky.
Five. How about three?
No. Maybe two. Five. No, they'll be better than that. But
all right. Here's Ryan Day, the new head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Coach, we'll start right in front of you on the left.
Hi, Ryan. Dave Biddle from 24/7 Sports. Who has the inside track to be your middle linebacker, starting middle linebacker? And what are some of the other most important position battles you face going into training camp on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of depth at linebacker. And with the new scheme, we're actually having the ability to use different personnel groupings. You know, we'll put five DBs in a game. We'll put three linebackers in a game and kind of mix that up. Tuff Borland, you know, played a lot for us last year, and he's being pushed. He's being pushed by Taraja Mitchell. You're going to see Baron Browning, Malik Harrison, Pete Warner. You're going to see a lot of these guys playing next year. You know, Al Washington's got his hands full. I talk to him all the time about, you got to figure out who's going to play. And it's a good thing. There's a lot of healthy competition right there. And, you know, we want that room to look like the defensive line room has looked in the past. Whereas, you know, we've got a lot of guys in that room and have. And Larry Johnson's built that room up to where, you know, you look at the guys who have come before and then the young guys who are there, there's a mentorship going in there in that room. And we want to build that in the linebacker room. And Al Washington's working on that. On offense, yeah. So, you know, the tight end group right now is probably the most experienced group. And Luke Farrell came back and had a really good offseason. Rashad Berry's played for us. And then Jeremy Ruckert's looking to make a push right now. So there's going to be a good battle right there with different skill sets. The thing up front is going to be interesting because we have some guys who have some experience. Although we've lost four guys who are starters. Thayer Mumford's the incumbent at left tackle. But other than that, you know, Wyatt played at right guard. Josh has played some at center. But then you also have, you know, Jonah Jackson coming in from Rutgers, Brandon Bowen, and then Josh Allaby. And then the other guy is Nick Petit-Ferrer. All of those guys could play. You know, for the most part, they had good springs. They've had a good off season. But the battle is really going to happen in August.
We'll go over here on the right.
This is Ryan Day, the head coach at Ohio State on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Ryan, in terms of this transition you've gone through, what have been the challenges? You've kind of gone from, I'm assuming, less coaching to more of this type of thing. How has it looked in terms of how you recruit, your role changing, and sort of being the CEO of the program?
Yeah, it started with, you know, in the summer with the staff and making some hard decisions right there. And then, you know, go about motivating the staff and hiring guys that you trust to do their job. And then, you know, we have so many other staff in place, whether it's, you know, quality controls or GAs, recruiting staff. And, you know, creating a vision there in terms of recruiting is our number one priority in the building is recruiting. And so as the head coach, as a position coach, anybody else in the building, that's the first thing we focus on every day. And then from there, it's what we call power of the unit, which is motivating their units. And then at the end, it's enhancing the scheme. And so constantly talking to the guys about that. And as football coaches, a lot of times we want to hit on scheme. We want to talk about plays. But it's more about recruiting and about working with our guys to create that brotherhood amongst each other. And having that approach now where it's more of a macro approach as opposed to just looking at the X's and O's and the football and everything like that. Still very much involved on offense. Working with Kevin Wilson and Mike Yurcich on that side of the ball. And that's the exciting thing about college football is every year, you know, that offense is going to adapt based on your personnel. And losing as many guys we lost on offense, it's going to look different this year. And that's an exciting journey as we move into August.
We'll go all the way on the left in the third row.
Hey, Ryan. Austin Ward, Letterman Row. You talked, I think, on the day you got hired or got the job that over time you would put your personality on the program. You'd obviously make some tweaks, but you're also trying to maintain a really successful program as it is. Have there been things already in the first 6 or 7 months that you've consciously done differently, tried to change, or anything at this point that's notable?
I think the easy thing to do is to ask, you know, how are you different than Urban Meyer? And that's not something I really like to answer because, first off, you don't replace a legend. You don't replace one of the best football coaches in the history of the game. And what you can do is just be yourself. And I think that's what I'm doing. And focusing on what we call tough love. Tough is being tough on the field. And with our strength and conditioning program being the backbone of our program, is that they have to be tough. Our guys got to be. It's a tough game. We got to make tough decisions. You know, leadership is tough. Challenging your teammate, but then also love for your brother, and creating those bonds with your coach, creating those bonds with your teammates, because that's the ultimate motivator, in my opinion. And so those are the things that we've been preaching to our team, and I think there's a lot of energy and positivity around the program.
We'll bounce to the right over here.
This is Urban Meyer, the head coach at Ohio State.
For the first time in a long time, Ohio State's not the clear favorite to win the Big Ten, according to some things that have been out there. What's your take on that? How good do you feel about your team a couple weeks before training camp starts?
I feel great about the team. I love our team. I love our players. I love being around the guys. There's teams you get around where, you know, it's labor to go to work. That's not the case here. These are great kids, and they're working really, really hard. But like I said, we have a lot to prove. This is a new staff. This is a new team. We haven't done anything. And we need to do that. So in July, our guys have been working really, really hard. They got a break right around the 4th of July. But other than that, they've been working. And our strength and conditioning staff with Coach Mick and everybody, they've been working their tails off to get themselves in shape and learn a lot of hard lessons right there in the weight room and working out. But it's going to come down to proving it on the field. That's what matters in the end. And we got to do it as a staff. We got to do it offense, defense, and special teams.
Right in front of you, Coach.
Hey, Coach. Steve Hellwagon, Bucknuts 24/7. Curious about Justin Fields. It's kind of an uneven performance publicly in the spring game. We didn't get to see him run, obviously. You guys obviously can see so much more during practice and use him in different ways. Curious about his development this summer and bringing in Gunnar Hoke, just what that dynamic should look like going into preseason.
Yeah. The quarterback room is there's not a guy in that room that was on the roster last year. There's not a guy in that room that was on the roster in December, other than Chris Chuganoff. And so it's an interesting situation. Whoever is playing in that first game will be the first time. And, you know, Justin and Gunnar are going to compete like heck to go win the job. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to who can play the game. And our schedule is funny this year. We have 6 games, a bye week, 2 games, a bye week, and then we play 4 games. And so in those first 6 games, the quarterback's going to be green. He's not going to have a lot of experience. And so the guys around him, our defense, the running game, the guys, the receivers on the end, they got to pick up the slack there. And so that as we go and grow throughout the season, we kind of get into that middle season and hit our stride in offense.
Over here on the right in the third row. Right over here, Coach.
Hey, Ryan. Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune. Obviously, Urban's still working for the university, and my understanding is he will be working with a lot of the varsity coaches. I assume he's available to you. Do you think you'll talk to him much during the season?
For sure. I'd be crazy if I didn't. First off, what he's meant and Shelley has meant to Nina and I and our family, I could talk about that for hours. And he's been unbelievable in terms of understanding when to be there, when to step away. Taking multiple phone calls from me, just looking for advice on how to handle certain things. And that would have been the case if I was anywhere else because of our relationship. But being at Ohio State and being right across the street, he's an unbelievable resource, and he's been a huge help. He's going to continue to do that throughout the fall.
Towards the back in the middle.
Big Ten Media Days on Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN. Ryan Day, Ohio State.
In the past couple of years, the receiver rotation has gone 6 deep. Is that something you see continuing this year, or could it fluctuate based on who you're comfortable with at that position?
We'd love to play as much depth as we can. If you look at last year, I thought when we started out the season, you had Austin and Bennett X, you had KJ and Paris at H, and then we had Johnny and Terry at Z. And they didn't care who caught the ball. And what we were doing is we were playing really, really fast. And by the fourth quarter, teams were kind of breaking down, and our guys were fresh because we were playing depth. And that talks to that room and what Brian Hartline's done in terms of building unselfishness in that room. Because a lot of receivers want the ball. They want their catches. They want their numbers. But these guys didn't care. And we have to keep that mentality going in that room. But when you look at who we have coming back, I think we have a chance for that same thing. Not as much experience, but when you look at Austin and Ben, they've played there before. KJ's got a ton of experience. And then Chris Olave came on at the end of the season. So we want to get to that 6-7 man rotation if we can.
We have time for 2 more. We'll go in the back right corner.
Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald. Hey, Coach, I know you've been asked a lot about Urban Meyer, but I wanted to ask you about another one of your mentors, Chip Kelly. You played for him, and then you worked for him. How much did he shape your thinking, not only as a coach, but the way that maybe you look at offense and the direction that it's headed going into the future?
Where do I even start? He's like a father, brother, uncle to me. I've known him since I've been 6 years old. Spent some time with him again this summer. He's meant everything to me in my career. He's got me going. He recruited me to go to the University of New Hampshire. He coached me there, and then I coached with him in the NFL for 2 years. He's shaped it as much as, you know, he and Urban are probably the two biggest influences, and Steve Addazio will be the third, and what they've done for me in my career. But he's always thought outside the box. He's been an innovator in the game, and so much of what we do is very, you know, much in line with his philosophies and in some of the concepts that he built. Because, you know, what he did was he combined the spread run game with the pro passing game when he went to the NFL, and that's kind of our philosophy.
All right, last question. Your
final question for Coach Day comes in the front row on the right.
Thank you. Roy Akers, Midwest Sports Scene. Now, some of the procrastinators and some of the magazines for the first time had Michigan winning the East. Is that something used as bulletin board material, or does your prior resume and the team's resume speak for itself?
I mean, I think people read it. I think our guys read it. They see it, especially with social media. It's more available than ever. But again, that's not something that we focus on. I've talked to our guys about the expectations at Ohio State couldn't be any higher year in and year out. We know that. But if we focus on all that, we can get ourselves distracted because it really doesn't matter. I know that sounds like coach speak, but it's true. Because in the end, what matters is if we win the game. And the only thing that's going to help us do that is if we get better day in and day out and focus on right now.
All right, and guys, again, Ryan Day, the head football coach at Ohio State. Sounds like there was a lot of coach speak there. There was.
And, you know, I've known about him for a long time because of Chip and what he did at UNA. He was a great player in high school, but he might have even been a better cornerback than he was quarterback in his playing days. He was a Gatorade Player of the Year. He was a New Hampshire legend. But what it's going to come down to, it's really simple. I don't know if Gunnar Hoke, the backup from Kentucky, who's the backup now allegedly, and the other kid, Chris Chuganoff, he was the backup at West Virginia. Mm-hmm. It comes down to this, I think. If Justin Fields gets hurt, they're done. They're in serious trouble. Justin Fields, you know, from Georgia, who went there, and it's a lot of pressure on him. A lot of pressure on him. A
couple things that jumped out at me that I took some notes on from his conversation. Again, if you just tune in, we would kind of keep it an ear on Big Ten Media Day. Obviously, Ryan Day, Ohio State, they don't get any bigger than that. Jim Harbaugh, I believe, will speak tomorrow. So, you know, we'll be all over that. He said, look, the number one priority around there every single day of the year is recruiting, recruiting, recruiting. Kind of reminds me of a old adage when I was in between radio jobs, as they say, and had to do a little real estate to put food on the table.
Yeah.
The most important thing you could do, you forget about the deals you had going, forget about your customer service, people calling you wanting to do this or that. Get more business. Find more business. And that's exactly the same thing with college football. What are we doing today to recruit for next year and the year after that?
What I hope what doesn't happen to Ryan Day, because I like him, is that Urban Meyer becomes a distraction. Being right across the street, and I know he has to say all the right things. You know,
who's it's a big mentor. Shadow, Pete.
I understand that. But Jimbo Fisher had a big shadow, too, over there with Bobby Bowden and wouldn't even let him on the field.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to be the case here. I don't anticipate that. But it's still, you got to wonder, can Urban Meyer can he help himself? Is he going to go to the AD at some point if things don't go particularly well?
Does Urban Meyer strike you as a person that would keep his mouth shut?
No.
He doesn't.
No.
He doesn't.
Well, I just let Ryan Day do his thing. Let Ryan Day coach, and Urban, you stay over there.
I had another thing that struck me as interesting when the reporter asked about, you know, replacing Urban Meyer, what are you going to do differently? And he said, well, you don't really replace Urban Meyer. He's a legend. I'm just being myself. But then the next thing he said was a lot of tough love around here. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if I'm parsing in between the lines too much, that maybe one criticism of Urban Meyer is he doesn't have any discipline. We saw the 30 kids arrested at Florida.
Well, I mean, about your coaching staff. We've gone through that a million times. I'm not going to go down that road again. I mean, yeah, it was that lingered for 8.5 years.
So I think there's a lot of stuff. A true argument, fair argument against Urban Meyer that he was not a disciplinarian.
No, not a disciplinarian, and let a lot of things fester, especially among not just players but among coaches. And, you know, cost him only a few games last year. Should have been a whole season, my opinion. But that's whatever. It is what it is. I just hope that some of these players aren't used to the way Urban maybe wasn't as disciplined as he should have been. And Ryan Day may have to take a little bit different approach that may not be popular.
No question. All right, your comments. Hey, where's the Buckeye Nation out there? You guys are bugging us all year round. You just heard your boys speak. We'd like your opinion on your expectations. Pete brings up a good point. If Justin Fields goes down, they got no experience in that quarterback room right now.
Well, they got backup experience. You. I mean, they got Gunnar Hoke and from Kentucky and Chris Chuganoff from West Virginia. 10 from 6 on the text line says, just got in the truck. Not sure if I'm ready for Pete's Harbaugh hate. Smiley face. I am saying for the record right now, I think Michigan will be undefeated going into the Ohio State game. Okay, I can't be more clear about that. I think they will be undefeated going into the Ohio State
as opposed
State
to
game.
Last year where you had them at 4, 5, and 6 losses.
Well,
so
I was right.
I'm just pointing that out.
I had them at four and a half.
I think they should be undefeated going into the Ohio State game.
They should be. I think they will be, barring any major setbacks.
All right.
What is it? A fire alarm?
No, that's my phone buzzing over there in the corner. Just ignore.
Oh.
All right. So, 239-337 ESPN.
Fire drill. Going to line up in single file.
337-3776 is the phone number. We'll come back and talk more about that. We'll let you know what Jim Harbaugh had to say about Urban Meyer. It was not nice. And we've got Wikipedia coming up before the hour is up. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd, working for a living on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
What movie is that from?
This is not working for a living, though.
No, it's not.
I mistakenly thought it was the Huey Lewis working
no.
for a living, but it is not. It is Future So Bright, I Gotta Wear Shades. There you go.
Even I forget who sings this.
What version is this?
Tim Buck 3.
Tim Buck 3.
Wow.
One Hit Wonders.
Yeah. Good tune, though. I like it. We are working for a living.
A few baseball scores up to the Red Sox. Chris Sale won for the first time at Fenway since last July. Almost a year. They blanked.
Florida Gulf Coast product.
Yep. They won 5-0.
Wow.
Today, Miami beat San Diego 4-3. Tampa Bay is up on the Yankees 1-0 in the first. Philly came back, beat the Dodgers 7-6. Maybe that Harper hit the other night.
Anything?
Maybe. Galvanized the team. Well, Kansas City beat the White Sox 6-5. So you're up to date there.
All right. We'll talk more about the British Open as well. Basically, Rory and Tiger sucked, and we'll get you caught up on all that later on. We were talking Big Ten and Ryan Day at Ohio State. He just did his thing at the Big Ten media day. I told you going into the break, I would tell you what Jim Harbaugh, who has not talked yet. He will speak tomorrow there in Chicago. But as you know, Jim Harbaugh never able to beat Urban Meyer at Ohio State in their 4 head-to-head meetings. However, Jim Harbaugh was doing an interview with The Athletic, and he took a shot at his former rival, saying Urban Meyer has had a winning record, really phenomenal record everywhere he's been, but also controversy follows him everywhere he's been. All factual. But it's one thing to say something about, look, you know, I like Michigan and I like Jim Harbaugh. You never beat the guy, so there it's kind of awkward making that
statement.
Not only
did you beat him, you got humiliated more than one occasion.
And then after the fact, after he's gone, then you make a statement like that. I think that's bad form. But
you think he was still? If you think he was there at media day in that building in Chicago today, that Mr. Yura Harbaugh would have said that?
No. But
so it's kind of cowardly, don't you think?
But as a radio guy, I love it.
I love it too. And I know he's referencing Zach Smith. What happened last year? We've gone over that.
Zach Smith at Ohio State to go to the 30 arrests in Florida. He has had baggage everywhere, but he's one. Like Ryan Day said, you could count on two hands how many games the guy's lost. I mean, he just wins.
Mm-hmm.
And I dislike him very much.
But I think it's it is bad form because Urban Meyer was no way he says that if Urban Meyer's there today. No way.
Nor do I ever think Urban Meyer would say that about Jim
now,
Harbaugh.
When Urban does do any type of stuff on Fox coming up in the near future or on his podcast,
yeah,
I hope somebody has the guts to ask him that. And if he takes a high road, which he should, he probably will, and say, well, you know, Jim's entitled to his opinion and move on. But at least somebody ask him the question.
Historically, Urban has not said anything. And remember, no. In between jobs, he worked for ESPN yeah. and said nothing.
Nothing.
So,
nothing.
We'll see. Also, as far as coaches getting a little bit wrangled, Will Muschamp was...
He was great yesterday.
Well, he got asked about Clemson, and it was referred to. So you guys are kind of like their little brothers, and he took exception
yes,
to that.
Did. Yep.
You know, the same thing happened with Michigan and Michigan State back in the day. Michigan has referred to Michigan State and Mark D'Antonio as the little brother in the mm-hmm. state. And but, yeah, same thing in the state of South Carolina. And Will Muschamp had none of that. No thank you.
No, I wish we had that sound. I watched it. Yeah. That's the first thing I saw this morning. They were replaying that press conference when I got up at 6 o'clock. And, yeah, that's probably the feistiest thing that's been said all week.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest with you.
It's great.
And, they're going to be one of those teams. They could, you know, last year I was very high in Kentucky. I think South Carolina has a chance. And Missouri, they could be the Kentucky of this year. I mean, South Carolina would have won a lot more games last year if they didn't lead the conference in turnovers. I mean, which... ridiculous. And then, I mean, Virginia really manhandled them in the Belk Bowl last year. They lost 20. Remember that last game? They lost 28 to nothing.
Yeah. Pretty bad.
But they begin the season at home versus North Carolina. Mac Brown's first game, his return, right?
Yes.
That's on August 31st. And they go to Charleston Southern, my bad. And then Alabama at home. So right off the bat, they get Alabama on September 14th at home. That is going to be. I guess if you're going to get Alabama, right, get them early. Is that fair? I don't know.
I would rather play them early than late, but I'd rather not play them at all.
They got a tough schedule. Well, I'd like playing the best. I mean,
I'd like to.
What do you like to ease into it?
I don't know. There's no good time to play Alabama.
They got a hell of a schedule. South Carolina does. After North Carolina, then Charleston Southern, Alabama, then they're at Missouri, then they're home against Kentucky, then at Georgia, then home against Florida, then at Tennessee. Then, you know, home against Vandy. I don't know. I saw Derek Mason this morning. I don't know what that team's going to be. What's going to happen
other
there.
Other than Charleston Southern, I'm not hearing too many weeks Vanderbilt, off on that schedule.
Appalachian State at Texas. They close out at Texas A&M. And then, of course, they're home against Clemson. Wow. That's a tough, tough schedule.
That's an awful schedule. other than the Charleston Southern game, there's no layups
they
in
play,
there.
They face the top three teams in the country to start the season, and Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia. They also face number 8 Florida, number 11 Texas A&M, and number 19 Missouri. Hmm. By the way, Kentucky is 3-0 versus Muschamp.
Yeah, right.
As a Gamecocks coach.
Right.
Yeah. And Muschamp has lost 10 straight games versus ranked opponents. Wow.
Well, okay, but
yeah, something's got to give.
But that goes back to the point where, you know, South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
South Carolina can get you 6 or 7 wins. Every,
yeah.
They're good.
They always
they beat who they're supposed to. Usually, they can't beat anybody good
no,
at the
they
next
come,
level.
They come close, and they come close, and it's like, ugh. I think they're a fun team to watch, but man, they turn the ball over. Every game, I'm like, no one wants to play them, especially their play. Nobody wants to play them.
Yeah.
What's the game last year? That unbelievable game was a pouring rain and fog. I remember it was against Missouri.
I can't remember that one.
It was one hell of a game. I think they won.
Yeah.
But wow. But here's some changes he made to his staff. Former Arkansas defensive line coach John Scott Jr. has been hired to serve as their defensive line coach. Pat Washington is out as tight ends coach. Bobby Bentley, who served as the running back coach for the last 3 years, takes his spot. They also hired Thomas Brown, who was a former OC and running back coach at Miami,
yeah,
to be their new running back coach. And over the last 5 years, South Carolina is the only SEC team without a player with a 1,000-yard rushing season, which is shocking in this day and age.
It is. They are begging.
Yeah.
For a winner there. They got a great.
But Jake Bentley's a good quarterback.
They've got a great fan base there. They sell out every game. They've got fantastic facilities. And for 100 years, they've been begging for a winner there.
And very rarely at this level do you get a quarterback that stays for 4 years. And they got one in Jake Bentley. This is his third year as a starter. And he has the most career starts, 32 among all SEC QBs. He set career high in touchdown passes last year with 27, yards with 3,171. And he led all SEC quarterbacks with 902 yards passing when under pressure. So they got, you know, a lot of pressure on him. They're just going to find a way to beat the better teams.
All right, let's go to the phones at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Let's go to Randy in Lehigh. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd at 99.3 ESPN. Hi, Randy.
Hey, Randy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Two things for you, and it's non-SEC today, so you'll be happy.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Listening to Nebraska's coach talk, Scott Frost.
Yes.
And I know that Maryland has gone and left and went to that conference. Do you think Nebraska misses the Big 12 and Maryland maybe misses the ACC?
I don't think, first of all, I'll speak on behalf of Maryland. I don't, from the day they joined the Big Ten, I'm a Big Ten guy. I don't want them there. They don't make any sense to me at all. I can kind of make the argument for Nebraska and the Big Ten, but it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. I'll agree with Pete on that.
I don't think either feels right to me. I don't know if they miss it. I mean, Loxley, I don't know what he's going to be, Randy. He better be better than he was in New Mexico because that team was pathetic, and not that there's a great program there, but to go 2-25, I think he went there, 2-24. But he's got a pretty good recruiting class that came in at Maryland. I think his quarterback's pretty – I don't know. That program went through a hell of a lot of turmoil the last, 18 months. So
yeah.
I think they're headed in the right direction. But as far as – we'll see. As far as missing it, I don't know. You know, missing something, it depends on wins. You know,
I got it. And I have a NFL running back question for you. I know the position is being phased out, but I was watching a little YouTube last night, and I mean, it's way back in the 70s, but I didn't realize what kind of, I'm only 47, so I missed it. Yep. But I didn't realize what kind of beast Larry Zonka was. I was watching him run.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Vin
Zonka
was
a bad boy.
Well, you go back and look at those numbers, Randy. Look what Zonka did, and look at Bob Greasy's numbers. And then Bob Greasy got hurt during the undefeated season, 72.
Yep.
And Morrow had a cut. Morrow really saved the day, and Zonka for that team. But Zonka was a man. And they had a hell of a defense. Let's not forget that.
And Mercury Morris was back there. I didn't know.
Yes,
so,
he was.
I missed that. I was probably only one or two when they won that last one. But my God,
he was a beast.
I hope they start running the football again in the NFL. Right.
Yeah,
Zonka was Earl Campbell before Earl Campbell.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And Mercury Morris will still tell you how great they were.
No, please.
All right, guys. All right. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate the phone call. 239-337-ESPN. Cow Tipper, what's going on?
Cow Tipper.
Hey, is this a new show? Because it's like been this potpourri. It's like I get Sheeman and Ellen DeGeneres. I get...
No, it's Megan Rapinoe now.
I guess Shepherd and that former Denver Broncos wide receiver, Rick Upchurch.
Rick Upchurch.
What the hell's going on over here?
We're trying to get it together, man. And Chris is gone for yet another week, believe it or not. But here's the deal. We, those two guys had a couple weeks off. I took a week off. We tried to make a promise to our listeners that one of us or two of us would always be here just through this vacation time of the summertime instead of just throwing it on the ESPN network. So that's how we've strung it together. Chris is going to be gone for another week, and then a week from now, it'll be the whole band will be back together and full steam ahead for football season.
I'm just messing around. Just good to have you guys back. Nice to hear Sheman and Shepherd, actually Sheman and Shepherd.
Yeah,
you bet.
Absolutely.
You bet. Thanks, Cal Tipper. Appreciate it, man.
Way to go, buddy.
All right. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
Hey, Craig, too, if you want at some point, I've kind of been working diligently here with your boy Tom Allen, who gave a pretty rousing opening statement at his Big Ten presser today. I clipped together about a 2-minute segment of his that kind of has me excited about IU football.
Now, are you being facetious and pulling my leg, or are you thinking you got people fired up?
I am not.
All right, I tell you what, we're going to save this for 5 o'clock. Okay, it's time for Wikipedia.
All right, you got it.
All right, I want to make sure we don't forget that. Got my boy Tom Allen. All right, I'm going to make a note of it. I hate to start the 5 o'clock hour with Indiana football.
Well, we'll ease it. Yeah.
All right, we'll do it. But first, it's time for Wikipedia. Today, it is British Open trivia. If you don't know golf, don't call. If you do, we'll take caller number 9. And Rick will have a nice sack of prizes for you there. 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776. Wikipedia next. Sheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter, shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
All right, time to stump Pete Shepard. Today, British Open trivia. Good luck to all of you. Caller number 9 is Jeremy in Naples. He's with us right now. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hello. Thank you.
All right. Jeremy, how old are you?
I'm 41.
All right. And what do you do for a living?
I work for a property management company.
All right, very good. The first one to 3 correct answers is our winner. You get to go first. Right, by the way, do you play golf? Are you a golfer?
I used to play. I haven't played as much lately, but I watch golf, so Okay. Hopefully I'll know all these answers.
All right, we'll start this off with you. Question number 1, the 2000 Open Championship ended with which player lifting his first claret jug with a record low score for a major at 19 under par?
My memory's not that good. Let's see. I have no idea. Let's say...
Take a guess!
Rory McIlroy.
Oh! Pete Shepard?
That would be Eldrick Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods at St. Andrews.
Yeah.
2000, his first 19 under par. All right, we go to Pete Shepard for question number 2. Which number 1 ranked golfer and winner of the 2014 Open Championship missed the 2015 Open after he ruptured an ankle ligament while playing soccer?
Oh boy. Can you repeat the question?
Sure. Which number 1 ranked golfer and winner of the 2014 Open missed the 2015 Open because he ruptured an ankle ligament playing soccer?
It's probably wrong. Phil Mickelson?
No. Phil doesn't play soccer.
No, I didn't know, but I know he won it. I think he won it in 12 or 13, if I remember. But...
Rory McIlroy is the correct answer here.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Didn't I get a chance to steal?
Oh, did you know that one?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you do.
I knew that one. I was going to say Rory again.
I did screw up.
Hold on.
All right, we'll
Hold
give
on.
It to you.
Well, you're going to take it? All right, I'll take your word for it. All right. this question is for Jeremy.
Yep.
Jeremy, having already won the Masters in April, Nick Faldo won his second major of 1990 when he won the British Open at which course?
Let's see. I don't know.
Pete Shepard, would you know? This is a tough question.
My first guess is going to always be St. Andrews.
That would be the correct answer, but you don't get points for this one.
Yeah.
All right, Pete, this question is for you.
Yep.
The 2004 British Open was held at Royal Troon. Which country is Royal Troon located in?
Well, wait a second. Which country?
Yes.
Wales?
Incorrect. However, I will let Jeremy take a stab at this.
I'll say Ireland.
Incorrect. Scotland. Scotland would be the correct answer here.
I was close.
All right. They get easier.
That was close.
They get easier. You were close, but no cigar. All right. Let's see. This one is for Jeremy. Jeremy, which American golfer won the 1995 British Open? Was it a playoff?
American golfer. Let's see. I don't know. Phil Mickelson.
Probably a good guess, but Pete Shepard would take a stab at American golfers.
Golfers. I know. It was John. John wasn't it?
Yes.
85.
Yeah. Yes. John Daly.
John Daly. Yeah.
All right. This question is for Pete Shepard.
Yeah.
We have an asterisk to 0 score here right now.
Well, he's up.
He's up 1-0.
1-0. Okay.
All right. Pete Shepard.
Yes.
I know you're going to get this one. Which course in Northern Ireland hosted the Open for the first time in 1951?
Well, it's the same course that's there now.
Yes. Can you name it? You've just gone brain. You've just gone brain dead, haven't you?
Royal Port Rush.
Yes, yes. Beat Shepherd on the board, 1-1. All right, now Jeremy, how many courses? How many courses are in the current British Open Championship rotation?
Five.
It's more than that, Pete Shepherd. Would you like to take a stab?
I will say seven.
Nine would be the correct answer. All right, Pete, this question is for you. We are tied at one. What did the Open Championship do for the first time in 1980?
What did it do for the first time in 1980? Can't be a playoff. There had to be a playoff before that. What did the U.S. Open Championship do for the first time in 1980?
I was surprised. I did not know this, by the way.
Got suspended?
No. Oh. Jeremy, care to take a stab at it? What did the Open do for the first time in 1980?
Have an 18-hole playoff?
No, the answer we're looking for is they finished on a Sunday instead of Saturday. I did not know that was pre-1980 that that's what they did. All right, we are still tied at one.
That's right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, I have two more questions left. Let's see if we can break this tie. This one goes to Jeremy. Jeremy, why was play halted during the second round of the 2010 Open at St. Andrews, eventually won by Louis Oosthuizen? Why did they actually stop it?
Too windy?
Yes, that is the correct answer.
Woo-hoo!
They had golf balls just sitting on the greens, and they would just blow away. Couldn't play. All right, that is a 2-1 lead for Jeremy. Pete Shepherd, your chance to tie. How does three-time Open champion Nick Faldo of England insist on being addressed? What would you call him?
I believe... has he been knighted? See a sir? Oh, I can't. You could steal. I'll go with that. I'll go Sir Nick Faldo.
That would be the correct answer, Pete Shepherd. Sir Nick Faldo.
Boom!
All right, I've got a bonus question since we're tied at two. I had it here somewhere. Here we go. All right, Jeremy, we'll start with you. Pete will get a chance to steal. One player. How should I word this one?
It's good.
There's one player that's won the Open a couple of times. He had the highest ever opening round score. So maybe this is good luck for Tiger and Rory. It was in 1959, he shot a 75 in the opening round and still won the tournament. In 1974, decades later, shot a 74 on the opening round and still won it. Jeremy, who is that player?
Arnold Palmer?
No. Pete, who is that player?
All Jeremy you had to do was say player. Gary Player.
Gary Player. There you go. That's an amazing stat. Yep. All right. Hey, thank you very much. Stay on the phone, Jeremy. We got some prizes for you. Thank you for playing. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeremy.
You guys.
All right. Appreciate that. All right. I thought some of those were easy. Some were very hard.
Yeah,
I thought
bad.
It was a good mix.
Not bad at all.
Good mix.
Not bad at all.
Technically, you won 3-2. All right, when we come back, we'll update the British Open, the Big Ten Media Day as well. By the way, Tiger Woods spoke, told everybody what was wrong with him today. We'll tell you what that is. So stay with us. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.